seems to be going on right now.
Okay, you were talking
about... before we moved there, say in about 1916 or 17, or perhaps somewhere along in there, some of the houses were being moved to the rear of the lot, I guess, and apartments being built in the front part. And so now, say behind some of those houses on Cedar Avenue, particularly our Chestnut, in what's now the designated Wilmore City, down the alleys there's some old ancient houses. There's some old ancient houses there. And but nothing. Nothing, no very fine homes. There would be places where people lived who were of means or of influential people, I suppose.
What was downtown like?
Downtown, when I came here as a child in 1915 or so, was very simple. The buses went, but there was two bus lines. The Atlantic Avenue bus came down Atlantic to 4th Street, over 4th to Pine and down Pine to Ocean Boulevard. And at Ocean and Pine was the end of that line, right in front of the old building that was the old bank building. But right in there was a toy store, apparently. And I used to love to go into that toy store. And the toy store was named Lord's, L-O-R-D-S, Lord's. And I think that it was, that toy store was owned or managed by I can't remember the people's names. I know it, but I can't. But then there was another bus line that went up to 4th Street and then on out 4th Street. And to go to town, we'd ride what we call a jitney. And they were mostly Model T Ford touring cars. And would hold very few people, but you'd have to sit on the door. Put your feet on the inside and sit on the door. But I was too young to do that, but I always aspired to be able to sit on the door or even hang on the running board. But that was the jitney, 5 cents. Then later, though, they put a regular bus type of a vehicle on the line. It had hard rubber tires, and then at corner 4th and Pine, there was a theater called the Mission of the Laughlin Theater, which I thought was an elegant theater. Down on Pine Avenue between Ocean Boulevard and 1st Street, on the west side of the street, I think it was in that block, there's an Owl drugstore, which is an elegant place. I think it had tile floor and skylight of a Tiffany glass skylight. And I thought, how beautiful. It's just like something in Los Angeles. But later I talked, many years later, I talked to a Mr. McFadgen, who was apparently a pharmacist in that store in the early days. And we were talking about how frugal people in Long Beach are, you know. And they wouldn't spend any money if they thought there was any pretense of elegance, you know. They didn't want to pay for that. And Mr. McFadgen says, you know, in that store, says, we never made 5 cents. It was just too swell. People wouldn't be leery of that elegance and wouldn't trade there. And also, I don't know how this was, but across the street on the east side of Pine First, east southeast corner, there was a big building, and upstairs was a College of Commerce. And it was a, I think the it was paneled, the rooms were paneled. So that in later years, when that College of Commerce moved to another location out on 16th and Pine, I think that they moved the interior paneling with them. I'm not sure. But somewhere I saw the inside of that building, and it was, I thought, an elegant hall, this wooden paneling, old-fashioned. I'm kind of hazy about that. And then up on 4th Street, 4th and Pine, on the northwest corner, there's some people named Davis who started a second-hand furniture store. There's Mr. Davis, and he had two boys, or three, I don't know, and there's a daughter, I don't know, but I knew two of the boys, but the Davis Furniture Store. And then later that corner became the a department store. They built a building called Marty's Department Store. And what happened to Davis Furniture, I don't know, but eventually it ended up on Long Beach Boulevard at about Hill Street. And there were two Davis boys. And this must have been about 1920s. One of the Davis boys, William Davis, was in my class at school. His brother, Al, was older. And Billy and Al both went back with their father, apparently, to visit their home in England. And this must have been about 1920s, I guess, early 20s. And while they were in England, they apparently came back to school, and both these boys were wearing some kind of a fur kind of a jacket, kind of a gray color. It was a beautiful jacket. And so I thought, if I ever get to England, I'm going to buy me one of those jackets. Well, I don't know how I got off on this subject, but in 1930, I did go to England. And I was determined to find a jacket. And I hunted and hunted, or went to a Liberty's department store, I guess, and they had this jacket. And it cost I've never was quite sure how much it cost. They said it was £5.50, if I recall, £5.50. And a pound was worth about $5 then, I think. So I figured this was a jacket about $25, and I thought, that's a heck of a lot of money. I don't have that much money, and I don't have just so much money with me. If I buy that, I'll just be short. Then I thought, no, I wanted a jacket like that all my life. It's the only chance I'm going to get, and I'm going to buy it. So I bought it, and I gave him £5 and I guess 50% of another pound, I forgot, which was probably wrong. But this is the jacket, and I bought this in 1930.
Really?
I bought this jacket in 1930.
My God.
And here it is, 1980.
Yes, it's lasted.
Two, and I've had this jacket for 32 years.
It still looks
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I think it still looks good. So I'm wearing a jacket. This is a historical jacket. It's 32 years old.
Inspired by the Davis brothers.
Yeah, but it's inspired by the Davis brothers. And then Billy went up to, he was interested in the YMCA, and he became a director, I think, of some YMCA up in at Berkeley. And he died some time ago. And his brother Al was with the Davis Furniture Company here, and he died, I think, within the last say 10 years or so. But then downtown Long Beach. Oh, then in the early days, I remember one night we drove down Broadway, crossed Pine Avenue, and here was the Buffum store to the on the southwest corner. It's just the small, just the, there's that small building, the original building. Mm-hmm. But the windows were lighted at night, and they had the mannequins with the dressed in there, and I thought, oh, how elegant this store is. It's just like something in Los Angeles. Some of these big show windows lighted with the mannequins inside. Then across from Buffum's, just north on Broadway, Dr. Forsyth, an optometrist, had his shop, and he had it wasn't originally, I think he was over on Pine Avenue north of Broadway, and then he moved to the place on Broadway, but originally the Forsyth was, I think, over on Pine Avenue, and in front of his shop he had an electric sign of eyeglasses with eyes that went back and forth. And that electric sign was the one of two electric signs in Long Beach. And I've forgotten where the other electric sign was, but there were only two. The other one may have been down on a pike somewhere. Because in the early days when they came, the theaters were on the pike. There was the Wigwam and the Fairyland Theater for movies. And
what else was on the pike that you first remember?
Well, I think the roller coaster. There was a roller coaster there. Not the that roller coaster has been rebuilt several times, apparently. Mm-hmm. But there was a roller coaster there, and the bathhouse was there, of course, mm-hmm. And the auditorium, the rebuilt auditorium was there, because this was after the fire, of course, of the auditorium, and after the pier had collapsed.
Yeah, that was
in. It collapsed in 1913, I think, mm-hmm. And the fire was in 1905, I think.
Yeah, the fire was earlier.
So it was the present. And incidentally, in reading history, they speak of the wharf,
yeah.
The pier and the wharf. Apparently, the wharf was the portion of the pier from the auditorium to the land, and the pier was the part of the pier that extended out over the water more, I guess, or maybe the two words were interchangeable.
I don't know. I've always.
But they talk about I think the wharf. They talk about the wharf. Where the wharf and the pier came together, that's where the auditorium was, apparently. The bathhouse. Of course, the bathhouse was. The place to swim would be in front of the bathhouse. That's where you met everybody. And the children would go down there. Their mothers would take us down there. And the ladies would sit on the sand and crochet or knit or something, and the children would play out in the water in front of the bathhouse. And we could go into the bathhouse too. And of course, the bathhouse was old, was very old for Long Beach.
You didn't. It wasn't a nice place to go anymore?
Well, yeah, it was good, but the water was warm. It was kind of tame to be in this still water. And but sometimes we would dress in the bathhouse and then go out to the beach. And then down at the corner of the pike and about Cedar was the dance hall, Majestic, mm-hmm. Which was quite a questionable place for children to be sitting around, you know. That was just for the jet set, so to speak, and the the bathhouse, I mean the Majestic. And then there was the merry-go-round.
Did you have the feeling that only tourists went to the...
We didn't know about tourists were.
I mean,
no.
You know, you knew that people came to Long Beach to vacation.
Well, we weren't conscious of that as children. This is our home. That's where we lived. As far as we're concerned, there was nobody else in the world except us, you know. People did come to... There were a lot of little hotels along downtown, along the Pike, and hotels downtown. And, of course, the Virginia Hotel was an elegant place to go. Very elegant. Very expensive. And I think we were, as a family, were in there maybe two times for some special occasion. But it was just no place for children, obviously. And too expensive for family. But people did come to Long Beach and come to the Virginia Hotel for the summer. Because later... this would be about in the 30s. I had a friend who was Sturgis Riddle, who was a schoolmate of mine, who later became the bishop for the Episcopal Church in Paris, France. And he was always meeting people, and he made acquaintance with somebody named Kraft Cheese Company. And there was a girl in their family, Miss Kraft, and the Krafts were Chicago people, apparently, who were accustomed to spending, must have been summer, and long at the Virginia Hotel. And so through this Miss Kraft and Sturgis Riddle and somebody else too, I guess, one evening, this was in the 30s, I'm sure, we went to the Virginia Hotel to go dancing. And we young people went in through a back entrance somehow, a back door, up the back stairs, into the back halls or somehow, and emerged on the dance floor, you see, somehow. And there were three couples of us, as I recall, and there were the only three dancing. And there was a fine band, about 17-piece band, and around the dance floor there were several, maybe a dozen or two, older people sitting. But that's all that was going on. The Virginia Hotel was on its last legs.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember that about the Virginia Hotel, how we budged in on this elegant dance floor with a big band with a few very wealthy people, obviously, but that's all there was. Oh, there were some Chinese stores where they showed on the Pike where they sold Chinese things,
yeah.
or Oriental goods. And hamburger stands. Now, hamburger was really, if you had a hamburger, you had really arrived, because you had merged from the hot dog stand to the hamburger stage. In other words, you moved up from the 5-cent sandwich to the 10-cent sandwich. Hamburgers were 10 cents, and of course, they were so good.
Did you go to church as a child?
As a child, our neighbors across the street, the Knotts, invited us to go with them to the Methodist Church, which was then at the corner of 10th and California, because we lived on 17th and Atlantic. So we went to at the church of 10th and California. And I think we met there maybe once or twice. It was all white people, of course. In fact, there were no colored people, no colored people even in high school. When I was in high school, and I graduated in 1928, And when I was in high school, I think there were only, well, there were, I know of three colored people in the high school, and that's all. And then we went from the from that Methodist church. Somehow my parents decided to go to Presbyterian church down on 6th and Locust. So we went to that Presbyterian church at 6th and Locust, beginning about 1916, I guess. And that building, of course, stood until the earthquake damaged it. The building was built first of a concrete, looked like concrete blocks that were contoured to look like rocks, completely that. But the earthquake knocked all that those concrete blocks off, and the church was, I think the lower part remained that, but the upper part was just finished in stucco until it was torn down in 46 or 7 or something like this. But we went to church there. My aunt went to church at the Methodist church on 5th and Pacific. So I knew a lot about that church before the earthquake hit it. And then it was completely covered with, all the stone fell off of it. And then the whole thing was covered with stucco. The Congregational church was still as was standing as it is now. And I saw them build the Christian church. And, of course, during the construction, the dome fell in. And we went down to see the damage of that. And I remember the Episcopal Church. It was just across on the street on 5th and Locust. But it seems like the Episcopal Church up there at St. Luke's at Atlantic and 7th Street was there from the very early days. It must have been built in, as long as I can remember, it was there. I don't know.
You said you went to Washington.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like going to school?
Oh, yeah. I like school. Fine. I like school all right. There was one thing that was on the corner of Pine Avenue and 7th. On the corner of 7th and Pine, on the northwest corner. When we moved to Cedar Avenue, there was on that corner two small bungalows, one-story bungalows. And apparently between these bungalows there was a kind of a roof put across so that the two bungalows and the area between them was incorporated into what they call the bungalow grocery. Hmm. And they didn't have shopping carts, of course, in those days, but they had little wheelbarrows, little red wagons, the proverbial little red wagon. And you could get your groceries and put them in the red wagon. And I thought it was such fun to shop there because I got a chance to pull the little red wagons. But one of the slogans for the bungalow grocery was, "Watch us grow." So it became, my mother used to call it the Watch Us Grow grocery. Well, then it did grow and built that big building, which is on Pine, north of 7th Street, north of the alley, where the chicken pie, that was the bungalow grocery. And it was you'd go in there and have a counter on the side, and the clerks behind the counter. And the groceries were way up on high shelves. You'd tell the clerk what you wanted. He'd get it and fetch it and bring it to you. And I think people who built that, whose was named Robar, or Robot, or something. And I met those people much later, and I think they live, or maybe they still do, or did, in a house on, I think, 8th Street between Atlantic and Elm, or Linden, which has a nice big house, Rock Creek Foundations. And that house is still there. But anyhow, this grocery store, and in the middle of the grocery store, it's called the mezzanine, was a barber shop. And so I'd go there to get haircuts, and I'd sit on the barber chair. They'd have put a board across the arms of the chair so I would be up high enough. I had hair then in those days. Yeah, and I'd get my haircut in that building. Now, of course, that mezzanine has been turned into a dining room. And now the chicken only occupies a part of the building. The chicken, I used to be next door, I think, and moved into or something.
Anyway, do you remember any other outstanding buildings in downtown? Or?
Well, the what they call the Times Building on American Avenue and 3rd.
Okay.
Is that it? When that building was built, it was one of the big, new, elegant buildings in Long Beach. And from the 3rd Street, I mean, from American Avenue, you'd go into the lobby and go through the lobby into a place which was called a very, very nice restaurant. Tricks upstairs, the balcony, called the Ramona. It was done in Mexican style, and it was a nice restaurant. And I know one Sunday, it must have been 1918 or so, we had guests from out of town, and there were 10 of us in the party. We went there and had Sunday dinner, 10 people. We eat a balcony, and that was $10. I thought, oh, my father paid. Oh, he must be a wealthy man to be able to spend $10 for all these people for $10, you know. I thought, he must be a man. That restaurant didn't last long, but the furniture was very interesting. It was crude, well-made, but leather-finished. So when the restaurant closed, those chairs were taken down to the Wayside Colony, and where came the chairs in the Wayside Colony, which was a nice place to eat as well. And in the Wayside Colony, we could get a dinner for maybe a dollar or perhaps less, because there's another place that had just as good food for 75 cents a piece. And there were other good restaurants downtown Long Beach, one called the Spalding's Cafe, which was on Pine Avenue, about across the street from Buffon's. And Sunday dinner there was 75 cents, which was plenty steep. Very elegant place, plenty steep. And there was another nice restaurant called Lord and Taylor, which was on Pacific Avenue, north of Ocean Boulevard. But I don't know, Lord and Taylor was a little bit more fashionable place. It was more of a society place, and perhaps a little bit more expensive. But the place where we liked to eat were the cafeterias. There was the Kennebec Cafeteria, I think, and the Crystal Cafeteria, the upstairs on Ocean Boulevard, overlooking the south side of Ocean Boulevard, overlooking the boulevard, where the train tracks and the car. But you go upstairs, and here's a cafeteria. And then there's balconies, or porches. You could eat out on the porch, too, there. And then later, the Mission Cafeteria was built down on the corner of Ocean Boulevard and American Avenue. But it was fun to eat out then. But I don't know, I guess as we got older, we didn't eat out so much. We used to go to, we used to pick up our Sunday dinner at a delicatessen. There was a delicatessen down on Elm, I think, just north of Long Beach, of Ocean Boulevard. And then there was a delicatessen in the downstairs, of street level, of the Wilmore Hotel, or Wilmore Apartments. And we pull up there, and